Good day. We're here at the Calvin Coolidge Presidential Foundation with Dr. Roberto Salinas León. Dr. León is here because we at the Foundation are hosting a national camp for candidates for America's debate team, Team USA. There are varsity high school debaters here from all over the country, including North Dakota and Oregon. Dr. León, a professor and TV commentator from Mexico, is here to coach top debaters on trade, income inequality, and taxation. This is a camp for economic training. So how would you, Dr. León, help the debaters with that?
Well, economics is a natural area where debate and dialogue takes place. So it's a very good starting point to begin debating issues that are not just important for debate and open dialogue, but are of critical importance to the future of our respective countries. Things like minimum wage laws or trade laws or economics, the relationship between economics and the environment, or international aid, taxes. All of these are topics that we hear about, we live and breathe every single day. So it's very important to think clearly about them and very important to look at both sides of the story and the evidence. So I think this is why introducing these topics in the area of debate is fundamental, not just to sharpen the mind and to cultivate an open habit, as Calvin Coolidge used to say, but also to begin to think clearly about the most vital issues of our day in economic policy.
So one of the important things that these debaters are trying to do is compete internationally. Do you think that U.S. citizens can really make it competing in Europe and Asia and in other countries, and how do they do that?
As far as debate is concerned.
Right.
Well, as far as anything is concerned. Well, certainly I do think that by taking a different sort of out-of-the-box step and trying to introduce particular heated and contentious topics into our debate formats, it's going to make U.S. high school debaters a lot more competitive, if only because they're going to be thinking about these things. Even if it's independent of debate and they continue thinking about these things, I think it's going to be of enormous value to their future exchanges and their future endeavors, either in academics or in college or the remainder of their high school or in everything that they do in life. They've at least began to think clearly and carefully and look at both sides of the story and weigh the pros and cons of different arguments instead of simply taking a side and not looking at the evidence and get completely dogmatic about it, which is what unfortunately tends to happen in a lot of public debate, not in debate formats, but in public opinion today, is you take a position and you marry to that position independently of the evidence. Here it teaches you to cultivate that open mind that Coolidge was so fond of.
So today and previous days in the camp, you've reviewed economic principles and fallacies. What is the most important thing that American high schoolers don't get the chance to learn in school?
Well, I think in terms of economic fallacies, economics is one of these topics where people are very prone, and especially politicians are very prone to promote ideas and thoughts that have a lot of good intentions behind them, but we don't look at what the medium-term and long-term consequences can be. And so it might seem wonderful and very utopian to propose, for instance, the idea of controlling a price because that's going to help the poor, when actually if you control the price of basic goods, economics is going to tell us that teaches us that you're driving down the price, so the demand for that good is going to increase significantly. And by doing that, the people that are producing those goods, let's say it can be toothpaste, well, you're going to run out of toothpaste. There's not sufficient demand at a preset price that is below the market price. So these are the things that we're discussing and trying to look at the long term or the unintended consequences of these good intentions. Many times it turns out to hurt the people that you're trying to make a better off. And so that's why studying economic fallacies is important. Another important fallacy that we've studied is called the broken window fallacy, One way to generate a lot of employment in countries is to think that if they go to war, tear down buildings to put them back up, or destroy a road in order to reconstruct it, that's going to generate jobs. Well, yes, it does generate jobs, but it also generates an enormous loss of a resource, because it's basically like amputating your leg so that doctors can have more jobs. Well, that's not a good reason, and that's what some economists and some in economics may be prone to think. So I'm giving you two of many, many other examples that exist of why the study of economic fallacies is absolutely fundamental as a topic in itself, but it's especially important when dealing in economic matters when we engage in debate.
So who would this camp help the most? Who's the intended student?
Well, this camp is what economists would call a positive sum game, because professors actually learn a great deal from exchanging thoughts and ideas with these young men and women that come here. But anybody who's seriously interested in debate, I think, is going to gain an added value, not just in learning the principles of debate, but in also learning about contents and topics that are vital to public opinion and that form an important part of our public discussions and public discourse today. So high schoolers that are interested in debate should be especially concerned about what's going on at the Calvin Coolidge Presidential Foundation debate camp, because there you're not just learning debate techniques, you're also learning about fundamental topics that are going to be relevant for the remainder of your life.
So you personally are an expert to a certain extent in the Mexican economy and its relationship with the United States. Can you tell us a little bit about how Mexico can improve its economic relationship with the United States and vice versa?
Well, I think both countries could benefit if we would have to mix Canada into the equation here. If we stop thinking about three different countries and start thinking about one entire region, let's think about North American energy, and let's think about North American education, and let's think about North American integration in general. Let's think about North American security policy, not just in economics, also in politics, and also internationally. That will not just make us stronger, but also recognize what is already a reality, that we are highly, highly integrated economies. One of my great surprises when I come to the United States is that I ask the question, well, who do you think is the most important client or has the greater market share, for instance, in automobile production or in auto part production in the United States market? And it actually turns out to be Mexican companies from an international perspective. That is, internationally, who do you think are the most important, the most important trading partners of the United States? People will say China, will say Canada, will say Germany, will say Britain, and perhaps will name remainders of Europe. And Mexico is down the list, but Mexico is actually poised to become the number one trading partner of the United States in the next few years, just shy of Canada. Why? Well, it makes sense because of our proximity and because we have open trade. So we've had a very good relationship, a very robust relationship, thanks to greater trade in the past 20 years with the United States and with Canada. But I think the next step would be for both governments to realize that we have to think regionally, and we have to think not about Mexico, the United States, and Canada, but about different regions. Let's say the Caribbean region. Let's think about Florida, but also think about Quintana Roo, Yucatan, and about the Atlantic coast in Canada. And let's think not just of California and Oregon, but also of Baja California, the two states of Baja California, and why not the state of Sonora? That is where the Sea of Cortez is, and bring in Vancouver and the entire Pacific coast into the mix. If we begin to think regionally that way, I think that's going to give us a much greater advantage and will be far better for us as North American consumers and North American producers.
So one of the things that comes up when we don't think regionally is the question of protectionism. And Calvin Coolidge himself was a protectionist. What do you think about the current state of protectionism and the future of
Well, now that I've come to visit the Coolidge Foundation over the years, I found out perhaps what spurred Coolidge towards the idea of protectionism. And what he was trying, I think, to promote is the idea of protecting family, church, and local community. Coolidge being a very local-minded thinker, which is, I think, the way that politics should be thought about as beginning locally, bottom-up and not up-down, not Washington and to the rest of the nation, but rather the communities and ending up in Washington. I think that's partially what may have been the root of the idea of him protecting the community against outside competition. But I've got to think that, Coolidge certainly knew that he wasn't infallible, and I think that he erred on this matter, that what you need is greater competition, not just for Plymouth Notch and for Woodstock and for Rutland, but for the entire state of Vermont and the entire nation of the United States. Greater competition, both nationally and internationally, I think is going to make families live better off and have greater access to far better products at far cheaper prices. Protectionism is another good example of a very well-intended policy that turns out to have unseen but devastating results in the future.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Salinas León is joining us here with a couple of different experts this week, among them Social Security expert William Shipman and Walter Russell Mead, who is a foreign affairs expert and is also well-known in debate circles. They're here training debaters this week at President Calvin Coolidge's birthplace in Plymouth Notch, Vermont.